The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, getting out from under the mastery of your afflictions.
Turn to me, this loud. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. And I am looking this close to two people, and they're just both staring. I'm going, I don't know which of us is the craziest right now.
Overcoming your afflictions, next on Life Today.
And thank you for giving us this opportunity to share a few minutes with you. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I welcome you to Life Today and a special program that we have every Wednesdays. We call it Wednesdays with Beth. We're talking about Beth Moore. Let me mention this because I want you to get it at the close of the program. I hope you'll ask for it. Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, devotions to begin and end your day in God's presence, which you can rest assured that means in His Word and getting His Word in you. Also, I think you'll find this very interesting. Here is a beautiful praise tape of instrumental music that is the hymns. Fabulous music, but one of the things I'm real excited about, I think you'll want to take advantage of, here is the story of how the hymns were inspired. Who wrote them and why? What was the occasion that led to the great hymns that you love? We'll give you an opportunity to get these to be a blessing to you and others, and give you an opportunity to give water to someone who desperately needs a fresh drink of water. Beth Moore is going to give us a drink of water. She's talking about affliction. We all go through it, and she's going to give us some keen insight. Welcome, Beth Moore. Here she is.
Let's go back 3 points because we really settled on this word affliction. So far, we've decided that number one is this: an affliction is something that makes you feel alone. That makes you feel alone. When he says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted." An affliction number two was this: is anything that. All right, this is going to be your key word, because we talked about that you can go through trouble. In fact, I asked them a question, and they had this stellar answer to it. Maybe you could get on this with us and catch up with us. We talked about, would you rather have a trouble or an affliction? If you had to choose one or the other, which would you choose? And all of them said,
trouble.
Because no one wants a...
affliction.
Because an affliction... That's just it. See, a trouble is not necessarily troublesome. I can go through a trouble and, you know, I'm just strangely, supernaturally, through the Spirit of God, untroubled by it. But the nature of an affliction is it afflicts. So if it's not afflicting you, it's not an affliction. It is a... Oh, you're so smart. Okay, so that has us number two. An affliction is anything that... Third one, so important, and this will be a lot of where we're going in our present series. Number three, affliction always involves
submission.
An affliction is anything that tries to make you submit to it. It tries to force you down below it. And so here's what we talked about, that every time we think affliction, think submission, because an affliction always has our knees bent. We're either bowed down to the affliction or... we're bowed down to God, but an affliction always has us bowed down. Everybody understand that? So that's how you always know. It's something that forces some mastery over you. So the only way we get out from under the mastery of an affliction is to be under the mastery of God Himself. That's the only way. There's no other way just to live. I just want to be free from it all. I don't want to have any master. It's impossible when it comes to an affliction to choose that there will be no master there but you. You're not big enough, I'm not big enough to master an affliction. It's gonna master us, or Christ Jesus is gonna master us and thereby set us free. He is the only one who will chain you to Him to set you free. That is the beauty of Him. So an affliction always involves submission. I take a certain walk, And we live out in the country, and there is a certain way I can walk that never one single time have I ever run into another soul. Not ever. Not once. No one else on the walk, because it's back there with the ticks and with snakes, and it's adjacent to our property. There is a way that I can turn that takes you down by, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say a creek. I mean, it is one. It really is one, but you have to understand that a creek can, like, somebody could spit in a hole and go, that's a creek. That's just like, that's my area for you. So, it's just, but it's still, it works for me. And it's not a beautiful walk to anyone else, but I like it. The birds are singing, the squirrels are running, my dogs are happy. And so I'm on this walk, and it takes me about 35 minutes to round the whole thing. And so it's when I do a lot of my scripture memory. And so I'll walk along, and so I'm just saying stuff to him. And so, and I'll just, you know, I have my little cheat cards that I hold in my hand. I'll look at them when I need to, like I've done with you. And so I don't take my Bible out and get it in the creek. I just take my little sheet with me. Off I go. My spiral, off I go. And so I do a lot of my scripture memory while I'm walking. And so this particular day, I was on Psalm. This was just a few days ago. I know I've got you coming. I'm wanting to get in the mindset of Psalm 25. It's been a lifesaver to me in a lot of ways. And so here I am saying it to him. And I get to the part, I've just been in the part that says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. And it's that wonderful part that we've studied before. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Now, when I'm walking, because no one's there, remember? No one is there. So I get like, I mean, I do it just that loud. But I just put more feeling into it because I don't have y'all going, whoa, that's a lot. It's just me and Jesus. I think he likes it. And I just say it. And sometimes it's like he acts like he's heard it all before. And it's, so I just was into it, and I get a lot of feeling. To you, oh God, I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, in you I trust. I was all of this kind of stuff. So I start rounding this corner, and I'm right at the part that goes, turn to me, this loud, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. And I am looking this close, as I live and breathe, this close to two people. It's a young couple holding cane poles in that ditch somebody spit in that someone's got gall enough to call a creek. And they're just both staring. I'm going, I don't know which of us is the craziest right now. But they were sure it was me. And because I didn't have a Bible, I mean, it just looked like, I'm lonely and afflicted. I'm lonely and afflicted. I mean, they were like, the woman never said a word. She was like, I mean, she looked stunned. I bet he picked her up. They were in two four-wheelers. I bet he just picked her up and set her still frozen like this. And she never said a word. He looked at me and went, we're catching fish. And I didn't know what to say. How do you explain? Well, because there was nowhere for it to go good. I was saying that to God. Well, clearly. Clearly. But you know, and you know what? They have never, I tried to get Keith, I said, walk down with me. Because we've got a couple, this was the next day, we've got a couple that are fishing in the creek. Walk down, we're going to go say hi to them. Well, he said, Elizabeth, they're not ever coming back. He said, there is no need for me to ever put out a no trespassing sign. Because all we need is for you to walk around there, I'm lonely and afflicted. Oh, so then, okay, I've come to tell you this, that God can deliver us from our affliction. Oh, we want that one. That's why I'm giving you a couple of different multiple choice it can be before God, and that's one of them, and everybody say amen to that. Because here's the thing we already talked about in the first half of our series. None of us just want to, like, Own up to being a glutton for punishment. For crying out loud, if you're afflicted, ask to be delivered from it. So he can deliver us from it. He can also deliver us in it, because I'm going to prove to you today scripturally that sometimes he has something to gain because we have something to gain. We can't make him more God than he is, but he is blessed when he is able to raise up his child in some maturity and in some growth and in some completion in an area that is lacking. So he knows we've got something to gain by leaving it, at least for a season. So he can deliver us in it. But you and I have discussed already in the first half of our series, no matter what our affliction, we can be victorious in it. Not one time does it get to be an excuse for our defeat. But here is my news flash. This was the first time here recently, as I memorized this psalm, this was the first time I really began to think this through. We've talked about God can deliver us from our affliction. God can deliver us in our affliction. But the part that has gotten my attention just here lately, I think maybe it's also possible for God to deliver us, are you ready? By our affliction. By it. Because I think that that is part of what has happened to me. By it. And I don't mean by it, B-U-Y. I mean B-I. I mean, I hope to prove to you that he can actually use the affliction to bring us an area of a great need or great deliverance, because it happened to me. Now, I told you, I baited you in the first half of the series, and I said, I'm going to tell you what my affliction is, my ongoing. By that, I mean it visits me a lot. I'm not meaning a demon visits me. I do know that the enemy is all wound up in it. Because he loves it. He just loves it because he wants us to submit to it. But I do mean that it is something that is not just rare. It's not all the time. It's not every day. But I wish I could say it's rare, and it's not. It's not. I told you in the first half of the series that my big one that I have been completely delivered from is that I used to have victim affliction. I would set myself up sort of to be bullied or oppressed somehow or pressed down. I did it over and over and over again. I no longer, that person is dead in me. He killed that person, and it was bloody and ugly and violent. I'm talking about scripturally just violent. It was a radical process. That was my own breaking free process, and I've been delivered from that. That has not come back up in many years, and so I praise him for that. But I have one that is more current. The thing of it is, I think I'm getting a sense from God that I am on my way out of it, and it'll be on my way out of it after decades, is what I'm going to tell you. But I think it's been of great use to him. I don't know that for sure. I'll tell you next time what happened with it. But my area of affliction that I deal with in this present season of my life, in these years, these last 10 years, is that I go through times of complete, I know I'm dramatic with my words anyway, but just go there with me, mental torture. Just mental torture. Just torment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where it will be an assault over my mind. And flooded with self-condemnation. Flooded with self-doubt. Flooded with all manner of question. I used to be, I've gotten delivered from a lot of the insecurity, but it used to really be that. Now it's just like this, it's like a harassment. I will have it in my dreams. I'll just go through a season where, I'm sorry, I don't want this to be disturbing to you, but I mean, can we be real with one another? Where you just sometimes just want to go, stop it. And I don't mean like a voice is talking to me. I just mean, I picture things in my life and in my past and failures and replays, and it will be like I'll go along with life and life's going just fine, and boom, here it will come. Boom, here it will come. And I always know that it's lurking because it's my thing. I've told y'all before, I have a very, very obsessive mind. I have to get it in my head. I'm very deliberate over my thoughts because this is where I go down right here. This is where my defeat's going to come. And it is for our battlefield is right there in our heads. We know that. So that's true of all of us. But for me, I just have to really, I don't get to just let my mind go anywhere, see anything, and do anything. I can't. Unfortunately, it's seen enough, and it loves to replay all of that. So, and not the victim part, but then it's all about just like my stupidity, and it'll be all of this. And when I'm on to the enemy, can anybody, I just want to know if I've got any company, anybody at least know what I'm talking about? Like your friend has the same thing. Like you, anybody? Your friend. Yes, I have a friend, and she looks so much like me, but you almost wouldn't be able to tell us apart, but I have a friend like that. Well, that would be me, but how I know when the devil is onto it, when he overplays his hand, when I hear myself say to the Lord, and this does happen, I'm going to say, if you just want to know, just so that you can relax a little bit about how often I would be at this point. Now, this torment probably happens a number of times a year, but probably only once or twice a year do I honestly utter the words, Lord, I don't know how much longer I can stand this. But the second I do, I know it's the devil. I know it is. If by any chance you're 54 and life is looking long, it's the devil. It's the devil. You know what I'm saying to you? Anytime you're thinking, maybe it would be easier to just lay down and go to sleep than to get up and do the thing, that's harassment. By that time, the enemy wants us to quit. Be on to him. And that's about when I start breaking out of it. Because, like, you know what? Don't you mess with me. Don't you mess with me. I've a darling makeup artist here that works with Life Today for this program, and I just love her so much. Her name is Faith, and I was telling her while she was putting my eyeliner on today that. Honestly, if God did not remind me over and over that I was called, I would quit. I just would. It would be too hard. But God's so gracious to tell me that He loves me and to remind me that I'm called.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
And you know, we have to have that reminder. I think sometimes we ask God, why did you ever use me in any way? And sometimes we probably ask, can you? But He can. And in spite of what we've been through, He wants to walk through all of our challenges with us. He wants to lift us up out of miry clay, up out of a pit that we may have dug or been cast into by circumstances or unkind people. But He will lift us up. He'll hold our head up. Enable us to look to Him. I want you to look with not only your eyes, but His eyes, the Lord's. And I want you to see what I believe God wants us to notice, not turn away from. We can, with no exaggeration, be the answer to the need you see. And with all my heart, I think you're going to want to be. Watch it closely.
Every day, millions of women set out to collect drinking water for themselves and their families, only to find dirty, diseased water sources available to them. Our mission teams have traveled to numerous countries around the world and seen the reality of families' desperate need for clean water.
Stagnant water, contaminated by feces and chemicals. If your child scooped this water up, how fast would you knock it from their hand? You see, water like this, the only source for areas around here, is killing moms and dads and children. We can stop that. Will you help us dig a well right here so that we can bring these people clean water?
I'm moved by what I see. I saw that little tiny plastic container that little child was drinking that obviously filthy water from. And I thought what Jesus said, if you just give them a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. And I've said this numerous times, and I repeat it. I never stop and think, what's in it for me if I give them a drink of water? In other words, why did Jesus mention the reward? It must have been important to him and to God, or he wouldn't have mentioned it. But I think it's really important that that not be the reason we do it. I believe the reason we give it is because we love them. And I believe if you love them, I believe it's reward enough just to know you've done it. And that you gave that little child clean water so he has a chance at life. And then you give the missionaries the opportunity of telling them why someone gave them water. And it's the love of God that leads us to meet that need. And that love's expressed through our viewers.
It is, James. And you know, as I was watching that along with you, I thought about now, if I had one of my children with me and I saw them run out into the middle of the street and I saw a car coming, I'd run, grab them, and say, no, stop, stop. And that's the way we feel as we watch these children drink this diseased water. But their mothers aren't going to stop them from drinking it. Why? Because they know that they have to have water to at least survive that day. They know that they would die more quickly without any water. They have to have some kind. And so they let them drink that diseased water. What we want to do is give them a choice. Let's let them choose the clean water or the diseased water. They're going to choose the clean water. So please help us be able to do that.
If you understand that Jesus is the source of life, abundant, meaningful life now, and eternal life. And he said, I am the water of life. The only way to have that life is through him. The only way we can have a healthy life is to have clean, non-disease-ridden water. We can give them water. It is there. You say, well, I see the water there that's filthy. There are ways to purify it. But inland, we can drill a well. And viewers like you have provided the drilling equipment, and the missionaries and the workers have found the places where the need is. We're targeting this year 500 areas to drill a well. That's the largest number we've ever set out to do. We believe if we can give people water for life, they want to hear about the water of life. We believe it opens their hearts when they see the love of God demonstrated before we declare it to them. I'm asking you today to reach out and touch someone with love. Would you dial the telephone number, please, right now? Would you just move to the phone? Would you get your bank card and use it like a check? Best way you'll ever use it when you're giving life to someone. You're going to give them not just a cup of water, but you're going to join to give them a well of water. Basically water the rest of their life so they're going to have a healthy life. Would you make that gift? The wells cost $4,800. If you break it down and it gives an average of 1,000 people water the rest of their life, $48 will give 10 people water. Can you give that? 144, 30 people water. You may say, James, I'd like to give the whole well. I can give a part of it. Many people give $1,200 and pray for three to join them, or $2,400 and pray for one to join them. Whatever you can do, we're asking you to make the call today. We have some gifts to share with you. A beautiful commemorative bronze for our 50th anniversary celebration. We'd like to give that to you as you make the special gift we've asked for. And then we've got the other gifts, Beth Moore's devotional book, the beautiful hymns, and the story of how they were birthed and how they were inspired. Would you right now please go to lifetoday.org online or dial that number and make the gift. If you want to write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Thank you so much for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
This is just exactly what we're after, is we're drilling wells so that people can know that they are drinking life and not death. Now, you want to talk about a worthy investment, seeing our dollars put into a cup of cool, fresh water that's not going to be diseased when this child puts it to her lips. If you possibly can, please go to the phone, do whatever you can, and partner with us for Water for Life.
Well, Beth, I just thank you not only for what you teach, but what you demonstrate with your life. Keith, Beth's husband, the two of them have been supporters of our outreaches for a long time. This is, and by the way, Beth will be part of our anniversary conference along with other speakers you're going to hear. Mark the date. There it is on the screen. Plan to be with us. Don't miss it. But Beth and Keith have helped us drill water wells and provide help for the hungry, as well as those that have been trafficked. The Living Water Limited Edition, celebrating 50 years bronze. This is a Robert Summers bronze. He did the Byron Nelson, the Ben Hogan, the John Wayne, the incredible cattle and horses in Dallas. He's done many of the great bronzes in the world. He did this for us. It's a special occasion. You help us by making a very special gift to drill water, and we will send it to you, along with the other gifts that I know will be a blessing to you. Betty and I say thank you so much for your help, and thanks for watching life today. Tell your friends about Beth. Would you do that? Thank all of you for being with us.
Tomorrow, Jimmy Evans reveals how to have a passionate and deeply rewarding marriage.
People want to succeed in marriage, but they don't know how.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.